In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God forever.
Last week, we turned to questions of eternity, of the afterlife, of heaven and hell, of will God accept me? And we said quite firmly that heaven is open to all, and that anyone who desires to enter paradise will be given entrance. That God sends no one to hell. Hell is the self-chosen decision to reject the invitation, to reject the love of God and the love of neighbor. And there are plenty of accounts in the Gospels affirming this reality. The prodigal son story, in which the father does his best to compel his children to please come into the party. There's the story of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the great supper. Many, many accounts of God begging people to enter paradise. And Jesus himself says in John's gospel that the Father judges no one. Jesus says that exact phrase. The Father judges no one, but rather raises the dead and gives life to them. This teaching is immovable. Your entrance into heaven is entirely your decision. So today is part two, God's judgment. And the most obvious question to ask is, doesn't Jesus teach us that there is judgment? How can there be judgment if the choice is up to me? Well, indeed, there is judgment. But just as many people have slandered God by saying God sends people to hell, so also has God's judgment been sorely misunderstood. And we just said that Jesus taught that God the Father judges no one. But then Jesus goes on to say that the Father has given all judgment to the Son. And it is in Christ that we encounter true judgment. We hear today's gospel lesson literally titled, The Last Judgment. And just as there are numerous parables of God begging us sinners to enter paradise, there are a number of parables and teachings of Christ judging the world, with some people left in torment. There's the parable that comes a little before today's lesson of the wise and foolish virgins, half of whom seem to be locked out of paradise. We have the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, and we're told of the great gulf between heaven and hell that no one can cross. And today we have the separating of the sheep from the goats. How do we reconcile our own choice on the one hand with Christ's judgment on the other? Well, if one were to pick just a line here and there, it's easy to think that Jesus is sending people to hell, but that would be a misinterpretation of what is meant by judgment. God's judgment is not a decision of who gets in and who gets left out. God's judgment is a revelation, a revealing of what a person chose in their own life. True judgment is simply declaring what has been chosen. In the Kentuckian hymn for today, we sing, when you, O Christ, come in your glory and in your judgment, it says, the books shall be opened and the hidden things disclosed. It doesn't say, when you come, O Christ, you will decide who gets in. It's when you come, O Christ, you will disclose the choice that we already made. It would be like in the prodigal son story, if the father were to go back into the party and disclose, your brother has chosen to stay outside. That's the judgment. It's the revealing of the choice. In today's gospel, among those who are not saved, Jesus reveals that they showed no love to the underprivileged. In the rich man and Lazarus parable, Abraham reveals that the rich man had complete disregard for the one lying at his gate. In the parable of the virgins, those left outside had no mercy in their hearts. The judgment of Jesus is simply revealing the choice that had been already made. Last week, what kept the older brother out of the party? It's that he didn't love or forgive his brother or his father for that matter. That was his own choice. That's what kept him out of the party. And same with the heartless people condemned in today's reading. To ignore those in desperate need is a choice. And now we already noted that Jesus taught that God the Father judges no one, but instead gives life, and that judgment rests with the Son. But even then, Jesus says of himself in John's gospel, Jesus says, if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge them. That's Christ's own words. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge them. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. Even in his judgment, Jesus doesn't judge. At least not the way that we're used to thinking of the word. This is really important because Jesus goes on to say, whoever rejects me, what has been written judges the person. Christ's judgment is simply the opening of the book to reveal the choice. Now, many people of good heart, while finding comfort in God's love and the grace of this open invitation to paradise, still hold a little bit of fear, a little bit of trepidation, even with the open invitation. And a person might genuinely worry that they don't have the forgiveness. They don't have the strength. They don't have the love to truly repent of what needs repenting, to truly drop what needs to be dropped, and to accept and enter paradise. Many people have this fear. And to that, I'd like to remind you that it is in your greatest weakness that the grace of God most abounds. Or to put it in simpler terms, it is in the face of your weakness that God offers you the golden ticket, the get-out-of-jail-free card. When Adam and Eve sinned in paradise, remember, they weren't evicted immediately. What happened? God went down to them. God goes down into the garden to give them another chance. He goes up to them in their hiding and he asks each of them, what happened? Did you eat from the tree I told you not to eat from? Even in sin now, they're still in Eden. God is offering them the golden ticket. And every grade school child knows what Adam and Eve should do at this point. When God says, what happened? What should Adam and Eve do? They should say, I'm sorry. They should say, I was wrong. Well, they don't say that. What do they say? They blame each other. They blame God. They blame the serpent. They blame everybody except themselves. That's the choice that they made. The same way that we choose to remain in our own kind of self-made hell by blaming our brother or sister or parents or teacher or priest or neighbor or boss or politicians or the system or ultimately God for all the things that are wrong in my life. We all do that at least from one time or another. Instead of turning inward and just saying, I'm sorry, saying I was wrong. But if in your weakness you don't have enough forgiveness and love to drop what needs dropping and enter paradise, God still offers this golden ticket to just say and be sorry. Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, I forgive, help my unforgiveness. Lord, I love, help my lack of love. There's one thing you'll notice in all the parables where Jesus is shown judging and someone ends up in torment. Whether it's the rich man with no compassion for Lazarus, whether it's the foolish virgins who had no mercy, or today's goats who showed no love to the underprivileged. There's one thing they have in common. No one in any teaching or parable of Christ who ends up in torment ever said, I'm sorry. Not a one. Not one says, I've been a fool, please forgive me. Not one of them wanting paradise enough to be sorry. Wanting paradise enough to say and be sorry. Christ's judgment is not his deciding if a person enters paradise. Christ's judgment is a revealing of the choice that we make. Heaven, by definition, is the love of God, the love of every neighbor, and a correct love of oneself. That's the invitation. The judgment of God simply reveals what you decide. Amen.